So hear now the word of our God from 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. In the late Roman Empire, there was a man by the name of Augustine. You may have heard me talk about him before. He is, by the way, the most influential theologian in the history of the church after the Apostle Paul. And yet, in his early years, he wanted nothing to do with Christianity, right? He saw his mother, Monica, as a simple, ignorant, uneducated woman. And he was right. She was uneducated. She was very simple. And yet, Monica knew the Savior. But Augustine just couldn't understand this. The wisdom of the world was so contrary to the things that his mother was telling him. And she would take him to talk to these pastors, and he would begin to question them, and Augustine could run circles around them. Well, one thing led to another, and Augustine ended up in God's Word, reading and contemplating God's Word, and sitting under the preaching of a man named Ambrose, who Augustine went to his church not because he believed, but because he knew that Ambrose could talk good. And so God used his word to convert Augustine. And so this one-time Manichaean, who had a concubine for decades and decades, never marrying, all of a sudden that guy was gloriously and miraculously saved. And next thing you know, he's the Bishop of Hippo in North Africa. And so as Augustine is working and preaching and ministering, word comes to Hippo of a terrible tragedy. The barbarians didn't just come to the gates of Rome. They sacked Rome. This, by the way, had not happened for hundreds and hundreds of years, that a foreign army came to Rome and took the city. One of the greatest generals of all time, a guy named Hannibal, even he didn't take Rome and sack it. And now the barbarians had. The finger began to be pointed at Christianity, saying, "This is all your fault. We used to be strong when we had the gods of Rome on our side. We conquered the whole world under them. But now we follow this Jesus of Nazareth, and you have made us weak." Well, as Rome was falling apart, Augustine wrote perhaps his greatest book. And we actually have it in the church library. It's about that thick. It's called The City of God, where Augustine pointed out that from the beginning of time, there have been two cities, the city of God and the city of man. The city of man has what appears to be splendor and riches and might and power. And the city of God, well, you can't see it. It has yet to be revealed for all to see, but we have the promise that one day the dwelling place of God will be with men, and we will dwell with him and be his people, and God himself will be with us as our God. Right now, the city of man is triumphant, but the city of man will pass away. The city of God will abide to eternity. And so Augustine gave hope to those living in an uncertain time when everything that they had looked to for stability was passing away. Augustine said, "This is how it is meant to be. The city of man will pass away, but the city of God will remain forever. This is difficult for us to wrap our minds around many times. Because after all, we were all born in the city of man. We have all lived in the city of man all our lives, and it can feel like we belong to the city of man. After all, everyone else around us does. But John, in our text this morning, calls us to remember what the city of man really is. And so he says in verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." John uses that word cosmos, world, in several different ways. For example, in John 3:16, God loves the cosmos. So much so that he sends his only son. In this letter, in 1 John 2:2, Jesus is the propitiation for the sins of the cosmos. And yet here John tells us not to love the cosmos. Because the one who loves the cosmos, the world, doesn't love the Father. John is here referring to humanity who has rejected God. So here when John speaks of the world, think the Tower of Babel. It was great. It was impressive. They were going to build a tower all the way up to heaven, and they made it waterproof so that God couldn't send another one of those floods to destroy them like he had promised that he wouldn't do. But they weren't going to let him do it again. Or think Babylon, around the same area. Years later, when they marched on Jerusalem and burned it to the ground and took all the people into exile, and then one night a hand appears writing on the wall, and Babylon fell that night. Or think of Rome, who by their own might, by their own power, conquered the known world and never honored God or acknowledged him as Lord. When John refers to the world in this text, he is speaking of sinful mankind seeking to have life without the one true God. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For you see, the world is opposed to God, and it is therefore impossible to love both. If your sins are forgiven, if you know Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit has enabled you to overcome the evil one, I hope those of you who were here last week recognize all of that. That's what John just told the church is true of them. Well, if that is true of you, then you won't love the world. Think for a moment back to what Christ said is the whole law. You remember that? Someone comes up to Jesus and says, "Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And what does he say? He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang both the law and the prophet." So Christ says that God's law is all about considering others, seeking to please God and not yourself, looking to the needs of others, contemplating the desires of God. It is all about denying self. Contrast that then with verse 16 and how John describes the world, where he says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." The commentary that I read this week argued, and I think successfully, that these are not three separate kinds of sins, but rather it's three different perspectives on the value system of the world. the lust of the flesh, that is the desires of the body. And these can be, you know, sort of not bad or good necessarily, just what our bodies desire. But if we're ruled by them, if we allow the desires of our body to dictate what we do, well, then we're only thinking about ourselves, aren't we? The lust of the eyes, that is finding meaning in what your eyes can see. The pride of life, that is pride in your own abilities and prowess. In other words, pride in the fact that you sustain your own life. All of this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of this is focused on self. This is autonomy, self-law. My body desires food. This food looks good and tastes pleasing. I was able to get this food for myself. And that's just one sin. You could replace food with any number of things. When you are led by your own desires, your own covetousness, your own pride, the world would tell you to fulfill yourself. But Christ says to deny yourself. The world says to trust what your eyes see. But Christ says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The world says that you are the master of your own destiny. But our triune God says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. So Christians, do not love the things of the world. Rather, deny yourself and love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For you see, there's many reasons not to love the world. The world doesn't love you, for example. The world doesn't seek your good. But the reason that John gives is very simple. He says in verse 17, the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. John says that everything in the world is passing away, and therefore, why would you place your hope in what the world offers you? What the world offers is a mirage. Food doesn't satisfy. Drink is never enough. There will always be another companion to pursue. It will never be enough. It will never satisfy, and it won't matter in the end anyway. For you see, Christ offers us something better. Christ offers a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that endures forever. So Christians, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Rather, lay up treasures in heaven. For the world and its desires are passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides to eternity. For Christ has given us peace with God, forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life. For Christians, this is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Let us pray.